We came across an interesting story that might just be the absolute job of all time, running a maritime research station on Lizard Island, which is in the very far north of Australia's Great Barrier Reef. There's two jobs, and they arose because the current co-directors have decided to retire after 34 years on the job. But who could apply? We got onto the chief scientist of the Australian Museum in Sydney, which runs the globally renowned research station. So listen carefully, as this position may not open up for another 30 years. I spoke to Professor Chris Helgen, whom I also asked about the current state of our Great Barrier Reef. Chris, welcome to Travel Writers Radio. I didn't know the Australian Museum was actually involved with Lizard Island. It's a long way away from the home base.
Yeah, thanks, Graham. It's great to be here. It really is. It's a special part of our operations here at the Australian Museum. It's our only major field station. And even though we are part of the New South Wales state government, it's up in Queensland in the Great Barrier Reef. But this is an arrangement that has a great history. We've run Lizard Island Research Station for 50 years. 1973, it was founded. And the current directors of the station, two marine biologists, Dr. Ann Hoggett and Dr. Lyle Vale, they have run the station as the co-directors for the last 34 years.
So that's a fantastic effort.
Yeah, 2/3 of that 50-year history.
Right.
But now it's time, with them having decided to retire, it's time to find who's going to take the roles next.
Now, I notice you are advertising for co-directors again. Are they a couple, and are you looking for another couple?
Good question. No, not necessarily at all. Everyone is, of course, able to apply. So we want to find the best combination of applicants that ideally have a marine biology background, you know, expertise in that technical subject matter, but are also ready to manage a remote field station. We want the best applicants, whoever is out there. That said, it is two positions that we're hiring for, and they have to work very closely together. If couples are interested to apply, they should. If best friend pairings are interested to apply, they should do that too. I don't recommend you apply with an enemy, but you never know what can happen on a tropical island.
Yeah, I imagine. Now, is the research station, is that fully staffed, or are there just these two people on the island permanently?
It's a really active research station, but we run it with only four full-time staff. And so those co-directors supervise, and I'll tell you a bit more about it in a moment, but a really, really active set of activities that involve researchers from around the world coming to stay. So the two co-directors are, you know, those leading administrative roles with marine biology background. And then we also have two other staff who live on the island and work there full time. So those four staff together run the Lizard Island Research Station.
It's interesting that you have internationals coming in. Is that just because of where it is and the global appeal of Australia's Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah, that's right. It's a big draw. And Lizard Island Research Station is pretty well known around the world, quite well known. It's a really important site for tropical marine research, period, on, of course, the largest reef in the world, which is the incredible Great Barrier Reef that we have here in Australia. Every year, so let me just tell you a little bit about the station. We have four sizable houses that are available to visitors, so scientific visitors to the station, as well as a couple of houses that house the permanent staff. Those four houses can take up to 37 visitors at a time, and we tend to be pretty full all year. So that ends up that there's something above about 7,000 visitor nights for scientists visiting the station every year. That's also students and some others as well that are coming to use the station. But overall, that's a really high level of use, and many of these are, you know, some of the world's leading tropical marine biologists who are coming there. There's a beautiful fringing reef there. It's the main station of operation for the entire kind of northern section, northern one-third of the huge Great Barrier Reef. So there's, and then, of course, also we think people come to it as a world-class facility because of the way that it's operated, the way that the co-directors have run the place, and the way they've kind of honed that to perfection over more than three decades. So, internationally, I think more than 20 universities and institutions are regularly visiting, but also it has a big draw from Australia as well. Lots of activity from some of the Queensland universities like James Cook and other kinds of marine science agencies and laboratories all around the country.
Okay. Well, are you in a position to comment on the state of the reef at the moment up there?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. It's not a very happy story, but it's been one that has room for hope right now, just as we speak.
Yeah.
What I mean by not happy is that with the warm waters and the hot summer that's playing out, there's a lot of bleaching happening right around the vicinity of Lizard Island and in various spots. Every year, we're seeing these really hot temperatures that can have a really profound impact on the reef. The temperatures just go up by a degree or a few degrees, and it really wreaks havoc on how the reef and the corals are responding. You know, in the recent years with some of the La Nina events, we've had more cloud cover, more rain, a little bit of relief to some of those relentless hot temperatures. And even though there's been bleaching, some of the kind of catastrophic impacts have been avoided. The trajectory that's unfolded over the last decade, you know, has been one that's quite different from any of the history we've seen, where the world is getting hotter and it's getting hotter year on year. And those, you know, impacts are going to be increasingly felt on the reef. So there's a lot of bleaching. There's a lot of impacts from, other challenges on the reef. Lizard has seen cyclones going through over the last 15 years and more. And those cyclones cause sort of mechanical damage to the reef, too. Wow. They really can grind up the coral. And the reason that's of interest when we think about our changing world, too, is that, you know, the increase in the number of really, really strong cyclones has been a strong pattern as well. And that, you know, too, is very likely linked to a warming planet. So the cyclones are increasing in number and intensity. And the water is getting warmer, and that's having a lot of impact on the incredible reef. Right. So all of that is also to say that it makes a station like Lizard Island Research Station all the more valuable to everyone, to Australian stakeholders, to global research, because for 50 years, that station and others on the reef, but Lizard Island, from our perspective, has been documenting in great intricacy with scientific techniques, how the reef how it operates, you know, all the complex factors and species that live on a ecosystem as complex as the reef sum together to create its dynamics and its operations, how it works, and now how that's changing. So we have decades worth of data and study that we can build upon as we observe these major changes that are happening. This last decade has been really challenging, but really important that we've had, you know, this major apparatus enabling scientists to study what's happening. And the next decade or two are also going to be really fundamental to watching how the reef is changing. And of course, we want to study it because we want to understand it and its dynamics as well as we can, in part so that we can help to protect it and understand how the different pieces of the reef kind of work together to create a healthy system.
Mm. So what I'm hearing from you, Chris, if I hear it correctly, is that there are a lot of natural forces involved here, that it's not so much human intervention on the physical reef itself.
It's a combination. You know, all habitats and environments, you know, are somewhat dynamic and they're always being affected by, you know, natural cycles and changes. And that's certainly the case for the reef. You know, but partly why the reef is such an incredible, beautiful, and valuable resource is that, you know, it has had kind of dependable set of conditions for a very long time, in fact, for thousands of years. And so that's allowed, you know, the buildup of these incredible complex communities But that really depends on, you know, the water and the natural environment kind of staying within a certain set of parameters that are healthy for the reef. What's happened with human impacts is that, you know, basically, you know, the use of greenhouse gases has warmed the world. That is a strong trend. It continues. That makes the water warmer. And that, you know, that is kind of hurricane fuel, cyclone fuel that increases the intensity of storms, but right, perhaps more directly has an impact on warming waters and bleaching. So there's a lot of natural factors at play that we've worked hard to understand, but it's now, you know, really important that we can take that baseline of understanding and use that to help watch and learn about how some of these human-induced changes are affecting the reef.
Right. So obviously the roles that you're seeking are people with serious scientific backgrounds and academia or whatever. Is there a role for citizen science in the research that you do up there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, at the museum, generally speaking, we are huge champions of citizen science. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One is that there is so much we need to learn and so much, you know, that we should be investing in understanding the world through science, you know, limited resources. And so the more we can get as many people as possible assisting in the effort, contributing with enthusiasm, the things that are really valuable to science and scientists, the better. And so we've got a lot of great programs at the Australian Museum. We have Frog ID, that people are using handheld app on their phone to record frogs all throughout the country and create a national database that helps us understand not just how frogs are doing, but how the health of our environment. We have something for called Digivol, where tens of thousands of volunteers are online helping us digitize our collections and the data that's on there. One of them that's relevant to the reef is we have something called Australasian Fishes, which is a place where thousands of marine enthusiasts like divers and fishers are using an online platform on what's called iNaturalist to upload their observations, might be their photographs especially, of fishes and other marine creatures off the entire coastline of Australia, including the reef. And that is creating a really, really important national level database of what fishes are where in Australia. A lot of interest for environmental reasons, a lot of interest for economic reasons, and a really important record created by the public as the world continues to change and environmental change kind of accelerates. So there is lots of room for people to contribute, and that includes something we call the Lizard Island Field Guide, which is a list including photographic records that a lot of people have contributed to, including many visitors to the reef, that helps to paint as complete a picture as possible of all the different life forms that live in the Great Barrier Reef around Lizard Island.
Well, sounds fantastic, Chris. How long do you think before you'll be in a position to appoint somebody?
I think we're going to be keeping this search going for through April, May, and around the middle of the year, we'll be trying to interview the best candidates that emerge. And by a little after that, maybe by July, we'll be looking to negotiate with the best candidates to figure out how we can get them up to the reef and get started on Lizard Island and get them going by around the end of the year. Just, you know, people should log on to the internet and take a look at Lizard Island. Like you say, it's off of Cairns. It's even a little further north. It's kind of straight out from Cooktown. So quite a ways up the Queensland coast, quite remote, and really, you know, something of an island paradise. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous place. So a lot of challenges of operating in a remote setting. So it'll, you know, require a unique set of skill sets by, you know, that we'll be searching for to be able to handle that and to run it really well. But I think for a lot of people, this could be absolutely the job of a lifetime. One of the most beautiful places out there.
Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure of going, but I know others who swear by this as a fabulous location. So if people go to the Australian Museum website, Is there somewhere there they can get the job criteria or whatever documentation's needed?
Yeah, absolutely. Just find your way to the Australian Museum website. You can search on Google for the co-director's position for Lizard Island. You'll come to a place on a website where you can register your interest. We'll be in touch with you. We'll be drawing on some assistance from a top-notch recruitment firm to help engage with the candidates that are really interested in the job. So we're excited to get the word out broadly, and we really appreciate you helping us reach an audience that might take an interest in this.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time, and good luck in the hunt. I hope you find a fabulous pair of people, related or not, and and you get another 30-odd years out of them.
Thank you, Graham. It's going to be an exciting time for us. I really appreciate the chance to talk to you.
Graham Kemlow was speaking with the Australian Museum's Chief Scientist, Professor Chris Helgen, about the Lizard Island jobs, which we would all love to do, but for the science degrees we lack. For more information, visit australian.museum.
This is the Travel Writer Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.